Great to have you with us on a Friday morning on 101 ESPN. Let's head to the Brown and Crouppen Celebrity Line, and our friend Jay Delsing joins us. Jay Delsing Golf is the social media platform. Golf with Jay Delsing is the show every Sunday morning at 9 here on 101 ESPN. Good morning, sir. How you doing?
Hey, Randy. Michelle, good morning. What's going on?
Hey, it was so fun to follow you on Saturday and Sunday, and it was like old home week for Jay Delsing. Every time you got to a green, somebody was glad-handing you or shaking you your hand or saying, hey, Jay, how's it going? That was pretty cool to see that St. Louis came out to support you.
Oh, my God, Randy. I've never felt that kind of support and love. I embarrassed myself at a completely new low. It's my golf game. I got the shanks out there, but I got to tell you, it didn't matter. The golf event was spectacular. St. Louis delivered like we knew they would, and it was just a great experience for me and my family. I don't know how it could have been better. It was awesome.
And Jay, what was it like for you to hit that inaugural first tee? Were you nervous heading into that? I mean, I know it was a great honor for you because we revealed it on the show, but take us to that moment and what you were feeling.
Oh, my gosh, Michelle. Well, first of all, you know, when you go to the – I've been the first group off before, never with such significance, you know, and there was a lot of media on the tee, and, oh, my gosh, my heart was just racing, and I was just kind of like, let's get this thing going, because I just wanted to get this thing off the tee somewhere, you know, in the air, hit it forward. There were so many things racing through my mind, but when I got behind the ball, I got to be honest, I was much calmer than I thought I would be. I mean, it was not easy for me to get the ball to stay up on the tee. My hand was shaking a little bit. I'm so fortunate that I just striked it right. It was one of the best shots I hit all week, which I didn't have a whole lot to choose from. But it went right down the middle of the fairway, and I was so relieved. Oh, my gosh. I took several deep breaths just to try to get it back together after that.
Jay, I have to have you tell your driver story to Michelle.
Yeah, okay. So, Michelle, there's a series of pro-ams that I play, that we played in. I played three pro-ams, one on Tuesday, one on Wednesday, and one on Thursday. And Thursday morning, we teed off back nine at Norwood at about 8:40 or so. And the 11th hole is this drivable par four. It's about 300 yards long. And I hit this drive, and the sound of the ball connecting to the driver just didn't sound right. The ball flew. Gosh, it only stayed in the air like 80 yards. And Pearlie, you know, was getting for me, looks at me, he's like, what happened? And I'm like, I don't know. I just messed it up somehow. And he's like, no, I don't think so. The driver sounded, and I go, no, it was me. I didn't hit it right. And so we just kind of shook it off and went, played that hole, went to the next hole, which happened to be a par three. And then we got to the 13th tee, and I hit another drive, and it just had this weird clunky sound to it. And we looked down at the bottom of my driver, and my driver was stacked. So I'm like, oh, this is great timing. I've got to get a new driver. So this is the beauty of modern-day golf and technology. I got on my phone, which is, you know, odd. I usually turn my phone off, and sometimes I don't even bring it out on the golf course with me, but I happen to have it in the bag. And I called my friends, Tim Heitman, who's a team member with Ascension, and we got TaylorMade came out and exchanged my 10-year-old driver head with brand new modern day technology, and a hole later I had a brand new driver, and I used it all week, and it was the best club in my bag.
That's incredible, Jay. I'm imagining the driver head, the club head, getting a police escort to you somewhere on the course.
Oh my gosh, I'm thinking that there should be a burial for the old one. I'm like, I wore this thing out completely. But, you know, back in the day when you try to get a new, you know, order a new driver, it took a full day, you know, to get the headset. It was, oh my gosh, it was just fantastic. And that driver, gosh, I love that driver.
Jay, what were some of your fellow golfers saying about the event and about the crowds that came out in St. Louis? What were you hearing around the course about what happened at the Ascension?
Oh, my gosh. Well, first of all, I had probably 20 of my fellow tour players say to me, unbelievable job in this first year event. I said, you're giving me way too much credit. Ascension deserves a credit. They assembled a team. I was a small part of it. But, you know, you guys, when you think about what it took, all the players had a brand new car from Lou Fuse to drive around for the city. They had a great yardage book. They had tickets to a Cardinal suite. They had John Daly throwing out the first pitch. They had this golf course that was in impeccable condition and played just like a major. All of these sky boxes, perfect weather, which we really got lucky about the weather, but it was perfect weather. And then this big purse. I mean, it was a 10-run home run for Ascension, for our group that put this together. We had the State of Missouri Bureau of Tourism was involved this year in a way. Lieutenant Governor Mike Keogh, he did a great job in supporting us and was out at the event. I heard for even DJ Singh, who is a guy that really kind of complains way more than he congratulates, came up to me and said, this is a really good golf course. And I said, it really is. It kind of flies under the radar here in town. And he said, I played some of the other ones, and this is as good as any course in town. I said, I really think so, but I'm extremely biased. But I had a lot of players just talking about what a great event it was.
That is so cool. Hey, Jay, I want you to weigh in on one of the controversies going on in golf right now, because Brooks Koepka kind of complained about playing for the Ryder Cup, and Paul Azinger said, hey, if you don't like it, don't play. What do you think of what's going on there?
I'm just tired of Brooks. I'm just tired of that attitude. So the Ryder Cup, you guys, is bigger than the player, right? This is doing something for the red, white, and blue. This is doing something, keeping the spirit of the game, a nice, really tough competition. Go out there and represent the country and the fans that support you, and just quit putting that chip out there all the time. I loved what Azinger said. I think it was about time that, you know, if he doesn't want to play, do you know how many guys that would give their left arm to be on that team? I mean, Kevin Na is a guy that's played extremely well and was really, really disappointed about not getting on the team. And Billy Horschel, who was all that Billy really wanted was a call from Coach Stricker to say, hey, man, you know, good luck. You didn't make it, but, you know, maybe next time. He went over and won the BMW championship over in England and on the European tour and used it as motivation, you know, to play better and to get more points so that next time he's on the team. There are so many players, you guys, that would love to be on that team. I just don't get Brooks. He's just kind of pissing me off, really. It's just irritating at this point.
You know what, Jay? In the Bryson DeChambeau Brooks Koepka feud, I think a lot of people initially were on the Brooks Koepka side, and now I think that everybody's kind of over both of them. It seems like both of them are pretty unlikable and that you're not taking a side in this battle.
Well, you know what's crazy, Michelle? I got to stand up for Bryson in this way. And I just don't know Brooks that well, but I've met Bryson several times. He is a great kid. He's just different. And the way that he's going about it is so different than most tour players. And honestly, I think he takes a bad rap. I'm really not sure what he did wrong. He's playing the game at this crazy level where he's just trying to outpower everything. But from a personal standpoint, I really don't see what he's done wrong. I just feel like, you know, Brooks has kind of stirred the pot. Brooks has thrown some barbs his way. He kind of kept it going initially. But now, I mean, I didn't get it. Honestly, you guys, I didn't get it when it was going on. I thought it meant absolutely nothing. I think it was really more for this Q rating and for the $40 million pot that that they were kind of maybe stirring for one another. I really don't know.
Hey, Jay, I'm thinking here because you said it. If you're going to play in the Ryder Cup next week, right-handed golfer, you better give it up your left arm or your right arm?
Oh, yeah, that's good. That's good, Randy. I don't know. I felt like on the weekend at Ascension, I had both arms tied behind my back the way I was swinging. I was like so bad. I thought I had done everything to embarrass myself that I could possibly do on a golf course until I played on the weekend. But Gosh, I don't know, man. I don't know. Well, I've seen John Daly hit shots one-handed before, and he uses his left. So
that's amazing.
I don't know.
You were a great representative of our town, and being one of the ambassadors for the tournament, you did a fantastic job, and can't thank you enough. And by the way, we're honored that with what's coming up later in the morning that you were good enough to join us like you usually do on Fridays. After you do a TV hit later on, I don't know if are you going to continue to join us on Fridays?
Oh, yeah. Gosh, I'm down in Jacksonville doing the PGA Tour Live. It's our streaming network that the PGA Tour owns, and occasionally they are kind enough to invite me on here. And so I'm on with Ned Michaels, and we're doing the Fortinet Championship on PGA Tour Live. It's a lot of fun. But, boy, you guys, it's 12 hours of golf coverage. Now, I love this stupid game, but man alive, 12 hours in one day, that's a lot of golf chatter.
And people can find that on, they can just go to Twitter to get to it, right? PGA Tour Live?
Yes, the Twitter posts our free, and then they can go to PGAtour.com or the NBC golf app and get PGA Tour Live and check out future groups. So we've got Miriyama playing this morning with I got to look at my notes now that I'm yapping. But we've got Hideki Matsuyama playing this morning with Steve Lee. And oh, my gosh, I'm on a complete blank.
That's okay. We'll just tune in to PGA Tour Live. We'll get the info. So
yeah, John Rahm, world number one, is playing with Max Homa and Siwoo Kim. And Matsuyama is playing with Hudson Swafford and Matt Kuchar. And Mark Leishman is with Snedeker and Will Zalatoris. And so it's a lot of fun. And you know what's really enlightening about PGA Tour Live when they do these featured groups is you don't know what kind of week these great players are going to have. And you see a lot of surprising shots from guys that aren't having great weeks. And I wish I would have known that while I was playing, because I thought I was the only one. You know, my hooks didn't hook and my fades didn't fade, but these guys do the same thing, and they actually miss three-footers too. So it kind of makes me feel good when I started doing this.
Right. Well, Jay, thanks so much for the time. Have fun down there today, and we'll be tuned in on Sunday morning.
Thanks so much, guys.
See you later. That's our buddy Jay Delsing on 101 ESPN.